Good morning. We're so glad you're with us this morning. I'm not sure how to take it. Both Annettes, they came up here with tissues. So hopefully these announcements aren't going to make them cry. So I'm not sure how that worked out, but I hope you don't cry. So two quick announcements we have next Saturday. If you would like to come out, we are going to be cutting wood for people. It's going to be from 9 to 12, and I get to play with my new chainsaw. So, Larry, you got to be on standby in case something goes wrong because I've never played with a chainsaw before. So it's going to be the first time, so you might have to be up here because I'll be in Angola or something, you know, putting me back together. But that's 9 to 12 on Saturday, so if you can come out and help with the wood cutting, you can see Charlie. Also, November 10th at Tuesday evening at 7, they'll be doing a ladies' meeting, so please come out for that. And then we have one more announcement, but I'm going to have a special speaker give that announcement. So if you would, just pay attention to the screen for our special announcement.
Hello, and welcome to my Backyard with Bert blog. I am Bert, and with me, as always, is my best friend, Ernie.
Hello, Internet.
Fall is in the air. Mm. So today, we are taking on a very special challenge, the pumpkin painting challenge. We're supposed to say that together. One, two, three.
The pumpkin painting challenge.
Bert.
Did you know that your eyebrow goes all the way across the top of your eyes? I never noticed that before. All you'll need are a couple of pumpkins, some paint, and a pal.
We set a timer.
And you'll also need a timer.
Yes, you'll need one of those too. Mm-hmm. The challenge is to paint your self-portrait on a pumpkin before the time runs out. Doesn't that sound fun, Ernie?
Boy, it sure does sound fun, Bert. Although, you know, it could be even more fun.
More fun? How do you get more fun than that?
Okay, ready, Bert?
I feel ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, come on, Bert. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, let's do this. Mm. Set the timer on the clock.
Timer is set.
On your mark. Get set. Paint. Whoa. Ernie, cut that out.
Oops. Sorry about that, Bert.
Okay, yeah, where was I? All right, yeah, doing some eyes here, and, oh boy, this is hard blindfolded, huh, Ernie?
Why, you said it, Bert.
Yeah.
It is difficult.
I'll do a nose.
Takes a lot of concentration.
I think this is the middle of the face.
Oops, time's running out, Bert.
Finally the mouth, and,
Whoa, that's it. Time's up, Bert.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's take off our blindfolds and see how we did. Okay.
Hey.
How'd I do, huh? Oh, not bad. Photorealistic, even.
Yeah.
Beat that, Ernie. Beat that.
Okay, let's see how I did here.
Ernie. Ernie, that's amazing. You painted that so perfectly.
You think so, Bert?
Like you. Yeah. Oh, I guess the winner is obvious, Ernie. You win the pumpkin painting challenge.
Oh, good.
Gee, I wish my pumpkin looked that good.
Oh, gee, Bert, if you had painted one yesterday and hid it under the table like I did, it would.
What?
Well, thanks so much for watching, and remember to like and subscribe.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Where's that blindfold? Life was so much better back then.
If you would, mark your calendars for October 28th. We're going to have pumpkin carving with the kids. So maybe Bert over here and Ernie maybe can do a blindfolding contest as well. But please mark your calendar. We won't be doing Wednesday night study because we're going to be helping Jonathan and the kids with pumpkin carving instead. Thank you, Bert and Ernie, for coming and helping with that. Jane has a quick announcement.
Okay, this month is actually Pastor Appreciation Month, and I think we have two great guys here that's with us this year. And on behalf of all of us, We would like to give you both a little token to say we appreciate you being here. We appreciate your families, and you're doing an excellent job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's open with... Let's open with prayer. Lord, we give you praise and glory for this morning. Thank you that we can come and we can laugh and we can just come and worship you today and just open our hearts and minds to your truth and just help us to learn all about you. We praise you. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning. Good to see everybody here this morning and all the visitors we have this morning. We're going to worship. Worship Jesus this morning.
Amen.
Heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest. from Calvary's mountain. Time to stand up, everybody. Look like you're alive.
The splendor of the King.
gotta like that one. It's a good one to stand up for. Thank you and praise you that we can be in your house this morning. Such a blessing, Lord, to be here. Sing your praises and lift your name up high. Lord, we love you because you love us. Even in our sin, you love us, Lord. You chase us down in our sin, our hurts and our sorrows. You help us. The fire may come, Lord, but you always lead us through it without a scratch, without a burn. Lord, you're full of grace and full of mercy. Your love is overwhelming. I still have trouble understanding why you would give your life for mine. But I praise you that you did. Again, Lord, bless this morning. Bless this service. Bless the message planted in our hearts, Lord. We forget so easy what you've done for us, Lord. We forget your blessings. Ask to plant it deep in our hearts, Lord, what you've done for us, and mainly what you've done for us on that cross. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. We come to this table and we read the words that are on the table. Do this in remembrance of me. And for the last couple of weeks, especially on Wednesday, we've talked about memory. If you haven't joined us and would like, on Wednesday, we're walking through the Gospel of John, and we just walk through the resurrection of Lazarus.
And we look at that and we know that account. We've read that account many times, but that account was a moment that could not be forgotten. Because when you go to the next chapter, the Passover is coming and Jesus and his disciples are going and a large crowd appears. And it says in John that this large crowd appears as it always appears with Jesus. But they came to see Jesus, but not only Jesus, but they came to see Lazarus, who they had heard was raised from the dead. That moment could not be erased from their minds. And so memory is a very important thing. It's a moment, especially a memory that is shared by many, is a fact. That's why we can look to the resurrection and we can say the resurrection is a fact. Because if you look in Scripture, Paul says over 500 at one time saw Jesus. That's a hard lie for 500 people to keep. It was stuck in their memory. And I would like to share the gospel through a song. No worries, especially Morgan. I'm not going to sing it because I can't sing. But it's a song that is very, very popular, and it's called Memory. And I'm sure you all have heard it and have seen it. It's off of the play Cats. And in this play, there's this. The whole point of Cats is going to the new life, the big moment, the end of the play, the big moment. And there's this old cat who's an outcast. And so this is her song, and it as you read through it, and if you listen to it, you hear the gospel played out in it. And it says, midnight, not a sound from the pavement. Has the moon lost her memory? She is smiling alone. In the lamplight, the weathered leaves collect at my feet, and the wind begins to moan. Memory, all alone in the moonlight. I can dream of the old days. Life was beautiful then. I remember the time I knew what happiness was. Let the memory live again. Every street lamp seems to beat a fantastic warning. Someone mutters and a street lamp smutters, and soon it will be morning. Daylight, I must wait for the sunrise. I must think of a new life, and I mustn't give in. When the dawn comes, tonight will be a memory too, and a new day will begin. Burnout ends of smoky days, the stale, cold smell of morning. A street light dies, another night is over, another day is dawning. Touch me, it's so easy to leave me all alone with the memory of my days in the sun. If you touch me, you'll understand what happiness is. Look, a new day has begun. And that's a Christian's life. We come to this table to remember. I can dream of the old days. Life was beautiful then. I remember the time I knew what happiness was. How many times have we been in that situation? It's dark. It's sad. I remember a time when I knew what happiness was. And it says, let the memory live again. Then it goes, daylight, I must wait for the sunrise. I must think of a new life. I mustn't give in. See, as a Christian, do this in remembrance of me because he said, I'm coming again. I must wait for the sun to rise. The sun will come again. I must think of a new life. Scripture says that we are a new creation. We have a new life, a new heaven, a new earth. I must think on these things and I mustn't give in. I can't give in to the fears, to the doubts, to the emotions. And then finally, if you touch me, you'll understand what happiness is. Look, a new day has begun. Look, a new day has begun. A new week has begun. We go on Easter and we say, Happy Resurrection Sunday. But it's not just one time a year. Today is Happy Resurrection Sunday. Look, a new day has begun because today is the day that Jesus walked out of that tomb. And he said, I give new life to those that believe. I give hope. I give forgiveness. I give victory over sin and death. So touch me and you'll understand what happiness is because a new day has begun. We come to this table to remember a Savior who could not be held down. A Savior who gave it all, knowing how horrible we are, how we would never live up, and yet He gave it all so that we would know what happiness means. So that we could face tomorrow, so that we could face the rest of the week celebrating today my Savior rose again, and looking forward to the day that He will return. Let us pray. Lord, we praise You and we give You glory that You are a God not just in a book. You're not a God just of religion, but You are the one true God, the God who looked upon His creation and didn't condemn it, didn't destroy it, but had a plan before that You would restore it. You are the God who came and took on flesh, paying a price that we could never repay, dying on a cross that we could live forever with You. Lord, we praise You. We give You glory. Lord, help us to do this in remembrance of You, not just on Sunday, but every day. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. So we come to prayer time. First, I've got a card here. Dear church family, thank you does not feel like it even begins to scratch the surface of the gratitude in my heart for each and every one of you. For every text, every call, every offer of help, every offer of food, I thank you. Most of all, I thank you for each time you lifted me, my dad, and my family up in prayer. I have no doubt God sustained me with hope and strength through this difficult journey with my dad. Just knowing you all were praying brought such peace. Thank you for that. I am so grateful to be a part of such a kind, loving, compassionate body of Christ. In Him, Annette Chapin. And I don't know about you, but Annette, you lift us up too. I have one prayer request from Nancy Crawford for Rick and Janice, its cousins. Rick has been diagnosed with brain and other cancers. Because of heart issues, no surgery or treatments can be done. Hospice has been called in. So we definitely want to keep this family in prayer. And everybody in the bulletin, if you got the prayer list, just look down through there. I will tell you that Connie's medicine came in Tuesday. And so at least for a month, she'll be doing good. So, and it's starting to help already. So she's not as wobbly as she was. So that thanks for prayers for her. Just now, if we can, let's go to a Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for our sister Annette and the joy that she brings to all of us here. Lord, we ask that You continue to give her this peace and help her to talk with her family and draw them closer to You, Lord. Lord, we ask that You would be with Nancy's cousin Rick. Lord, it's a rough time with cancer, especially if it's not treatable. Lord, we ask that You give comfort and guidance and love. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
morning again. I have a sort of an unspoken prayer request. There's a gentleman who called me yesterday, and many of you know him. That's about as far as I can go with that. But he called to say that his wife has COVID, and he is being tested for it. They are both, I hate to say it, but they're elderly people. So if you would pray for them, his thoughts are trusting God and knowing everything's going to be okay. But he says it's really rough right now. So if you would just pray for that family, pray especially that he doesn't have it, but for his wife who does have it. So if you would just do that, be much appreciated. All right. Well, we're going to keep our journey here, and we're going to walk into the book of Mark, and we're going to walk in chapter 8. And it's interesting because what we're going to hit this morning, we've all read it, but as I looked at it, as I was preparing and tearing it apart and all of these things, God really does sometimes smack you in the face. You know, he really wants us to know, especially us, that we're cared for, that we're loved, and that he died on the cross for us. And I'm going to explain that statement here a little bit more, but this really goes out to us. Now, I'm not going to be able to do all of chapter 8 because it sort of breaks off and takes a different road. So we're going to next week hit that with chapter 9. So right now we're just going to focus on the first half. And as we walk through this, we're going to look at Jesus being that servant. And so if you would, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 8. And as you do this, I want to give you this illustration. Charles Spurgeon, if you know, he was the prince of all preachers way back in the day, he has lots and lots of books, and you can read his sermons. And I mean, this man was a man of God, a true man of God. And he told this story of his grandfather, James, and his faith in God. He had a large family and a very small income, but he loved his Lord, and he would not give up his preaching of the gospel for anything. One day, the cow on which the family relied for milk for the children suddenly died. James Spurgeon's wife was greatly concerned, but he said God said he would provide. And I believe that he could send us 50 cows if he pleased. On the same day, a group met in London, a group James Spurgeon did not know, that wanted to help meet the needs of poor pastors. They raised a large sum of money and began sending it to different pastors in need to help their families. When they reached the end of the list, there was still £5 left. One man suggested sending it to James Spurgeon. Another said, no, let's not send just £5. Let me add 5 more to go with it. Others joined in, and the day after his cow died, James Spurgeon received £20 in the mail. He believed God would provide, and God provided. And we're going to look at that today. So let us open with prayer. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for men of faith that we can read their testimonies, and that we can see how you do provide. Thank you that we can read your word and see directly you providing. Lord, open our hearts and minds, Lord, and just rely on you and look to you. Let us walk in your truth this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. If you remember last week, we asked the question, how do we serve? Do we serve with love? Do we serve out of love? Or do we serve out of the tradition of the elders? Traditions being we've done this way before. We've always done it this way. And remember, we looked at verse 27 of chapter 7. Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And we talked about that and how a lot of times we look at the church and we take the church as a whole, and we have to do it this way. We have to do it, well, a little bit here, we'll throw here there. But Jesus used this statement to say that the gospel is all-inclusive. Today we're going to take Jesus as provider one step further. And we're going to look at this a little deeper. So I would encourage you to go and read all of Mark yourself. But as we look here, we're going to look at this very specific chapter, this specific incident. And we're going to look at this because this is going to mirror things that we've read. Chapter 6 and 7 we've looked at, and here's 8. Today we're going to feed a multitude. Chapter 6, 31 and 34, we fed a multitude. We're going to feed a multitude again. In chapter 6, 45 and 56, we cross a lake. Guess what we're going to do today? We're going to cross a lake. In chapter 7, verse 1, we had a dispute with the Pharisees. Guess who's going to show up and give us some more trouble? The Pharisees. In chapter 7, 24, we're going to have a discussion about bread. Again, we're going to talk about bread. Chapter 7, verse 31, we're going to have a healing. And we're going to have a healing today. And then in verse 37, we had a confession of faith. And we're not going to get there today, but in verses 27 through 30 of chapter 8, we're going to have a confession of faith. You see, Mark is repeating what he's already said. He's showing us stuff that we've looked at before because he wants us to see how much God does provide. The importance of knowing who God is. Now, I said that we looked at feeding a multitude. In chapter 6, what was that feeding the multitude? It was feeding the 5,000, right? And we looked at that, and when we looked at feeding the 5,000, that's the most popular. And this one that we're going to look at today, they're like, wait, is it 5,000? Is it 4,000? Are they not the same? No, they're not the same, and we're going to see why. You see, the feeding of the 5,000, we ended up in a desolate place. As we're in this desolate place, as we're getting the word of God, as Jesus is preaching, a need arises. It's getting late. These people need food. What do we do about it? Jesus looks to the disciples to see how they're going to respond. He says, you do something about it, hoping that they'll look to him and say, Lord, we can't do anything. It's only through you and by you. Of course, they go scrambling, and what do? And they come up with 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish. And Christ takes that, and he provides for the needs as he blesses it and he breaks it, and it multiplies and multiplies. And as he prays and breaks the bread, that is very representative of communion. And then there's 12 baskets left over as he feeds them and they bring it back. And we looked at how the 12 tribes, the 12 apostles, 12 being left over for us. So let us look today at verse 1 of chapter 8. In those days when again, a great crowd had gathered. I like the way Mark says that again. Here they come again. A great crowd had gathered and they had nothing to eat. He called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away. And his disciples answered, how can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? And he asked them, how many loaves do you have? They said, 7. And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And they set them before the crowds, and they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied, and they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people. And he sent them away, and immediately he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the district of Dalmatia, because I can't even say that word. So notice what happens. Where are we again? We're in a desolate place. But see, there's a catch to this desolate place. You see, Jesus had just had this discussion with the Pharisees and he leaves. He's crossed over into enemy territory again. This time he is over in Gentile territory. And these Gentiles who are not Jews, who are not looking for the Messiah, hear that Jesus has come. And they have a need. They have sick children. They have blind. They have deaf. They have mute. They have friends who have paralysis. They have hunger for the Word of God, not knowing it yet, but for good teaching. So this great crowd comes and gathering, not looking for anything except maybe a healing here or there. And they come and they sit at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus, notice this time, he didn't say this last time. Last time the apostles came to him and said, Jesus, look, these people are hungry. We got to get rid of them. See, during feeding the 5,000, he was in Israelite territory. These were his people. And Jesus looks at them and he turns to them and he says, you do something about it. Notice here, Jesus says, disciples, come here. We have to do something because I have compassion on these people. You see, Jesus' compassion because they don't know God. Jesus deliberately went to a place that did not know God, and he has compassion upon them. He's teaching them. They're reaching out, and he's providing. This need arises. He addresses the physical need. They are hungry. But his compassion runs deeper because they need to know who he is. Notice, what do we have again? We have 5 loaves and a few fishes, probably 2. Maybe a little more. And what does he do? He prays, he breaks, and he passes out. And notice what happens here. He has 7 baskets that are passed out, and how many baskets are left over? 7. What does all this mean? You see, we look at this and we're like, Jesus had compassion on these people. He fed these people just like he fed the Israelite people, but it's going to go deeper than that. And let us go deeper than that. Let's jump over to verse 14. See, in verse 14, it says, now they had forgotten to bring bread. See, we've crossed over, but we have forgotten to bring bread. And they had only 1 loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. They were missing the point again. Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Have your eyes, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? You see, we just talked about that this morning. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus wants us to keep remembering what he has doing, what he does, what he's doing. So that when we come to moments like this, we can walk through them. We can look to Jesus and we can say, Jesus is the provider because he has provided. Do you not remember? What do they not remember? Verse 19, when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000. How many baskets of broken pieces did you take up? They said 12. And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets of broken pieces did you take up? And they said 7. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? You see, how many loaves did we have in this boat? See, here's a contradiction that people want to bring to you. You see, verse 16 says they have none. Then they have 1. Do they have none or do they have 1? Which is it? You see, I would believe that they had no physical bread among them. They forgot the bread. But they had 1 loaf of bread with them. It goes back to the book of John. See, in the book of John, chapter 6, Jesus stands up and he says, I am the bread of life. See, they had 1 loaf of bread in that boat, and that was Jesus. They had everything they needed in that boat. But they started to argue about physical. We don't have any bread. We're going to get hungry. Where's the bread? You were in charge. No, you were supposed to bring the bread. We had 7 baskets. Why didn't nobody grab the bread? Come on, guys. And Jesus is like, really? You have 1 loaf of bread right here with you. You see, we can look at this and see also when Paul talks about the Lord's Supper, Jesus, what did he say? He took the bread and broke it and said what? This is my body, which is broken for you. He wasn't talking about the physical bread. He was talking about the bread representing him. Here again, Jesus is saying, here I am, the bread that you need. The bread has been provided. But our question here is, do we bring them to the bread? You see, twice the disciples didn't bring the people to the bread. Twice they were looking around for means that they could figure out, how do we make this happen? Andrew, the one who all through the Gospels is the one who brings people to Jesus, he was the most diligent. He found the little boy with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and brought them to Jesus, and he fed 5,000 with them. This time, there's no one. They find no one, and Jesus looks to them, well, what do you have? Again, you do something about it. What do you have? Oh, wait, we have 7 pieces of bread. Would you not think that seeing the 5,000 being fed from a little boy's lunch, they would go, wait, these people are hungry. Oh, wait, we got seven. Well, let's see what he will do with seven. Let's see what he'll do with this, because we got a couple loaves here. But they look around at each other and they're like, what do we do? And he says, what do you have? You see, what do we have? We have bread with us. We have the gospel. We have scripture. We have God speaking. We have the Holy Spirit. Do we bring people to the bread? Or do we fumble and try to figure it out on our own? You see, again, these two stories mimic the Exodus story. Jesus wants them to remember what God has done. What did he do in the Exodus? He brought you in the wilderness, and he fed you with bread and with quail. I just fed you with five pieces of bread and two fish not a couple days ago. And again, here we do it again. I want you to remember what God is doing. See what we are doing. Look to me. And then he asks them, how many? 12. 12 tribes, 12 apostles, 12 left over for the Gentile world. Now, look at this, 7. 7 days of creation. 7 churches in the book of Revelations. On the 7th day is a day of rest. It is the Sabbath. Why is 7 so important? You see, 7 is the number of completion. You see, Jesus went to the Gentile world. He went to feed these Gentiles the word of truth, his word. And he fed them physically, and there were 7 loaves left over, which means the circle is complete. The family is complete. Not only have I provided for the Israelites, but now I've provided for the Gentiles. That's why you and I, this is our story, because Jesus came to us and he provided for us. He had compassion on us, the ones who are outside of him. We are not the chosen. We are not the covenant people. That's the Israelites. But he had compassion on us, that he took care of our needs. He fed us, and there were 7 baskets left over, saying, it is completed. The 12 tribes, the 12 apostles, got them. The Gentile world, those that are outside of the covenant people, 7 baskets, got them. And it's from this point that we move into that moment that we celebrate in Easter. And we'll get there next week, but we move into that. You see, these two events are tied together. Jesus wanted them to remember, it's not about eating bread, guys. Stop it. It's about our mission and what I've come to do. And I've come to save. I've come to restore. I've come to provide a way out of sin and death. And what I want you guys to remember, I want you to remember this. Think about this. Question it. Tear it apart. Bring it to me and let's talk about it again. Because there's the leaven of the Pharisees and the Herods that you must be careful of. And what he means there, again, we're speaking of bread. What is leaven? Leaven is yeast. And what is yeast? Why do you need yeast? Makes the bread do what? Makes it rise. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees and Herods. Beware of false preaching. Beware of false teachers, of false doctrine. Because if you let it in, what's it going to do? It's going to grow. If I stand up here and I tell you things that aren't in the Bible, if I tell you things that make you feel good, and you're like, hey, I like that. That's a good idea. That really stuck to me. What are you going to do when you go to work on Monday? You're going to repeat it. Who's going to repeat it? Who's going to repeat it, and it grows. Beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the teachers. See, beware what we listen to. Remember what God has done. Remember what Jesus has done. He says, beware those things. Pay attention to what I'm doing. Look to me. Then he says, understand this. Because see, the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000 go hand in hand, both pointing that Christ came for all. Remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Not just the Israelites. The world. These two stories point to that one moment. That one moment right there. They come together. The cross, the final provision, that all, the all. You come to this cross. Jesus doesn't say, okay, answer these questions and you're in. Let's look at your background. Let's look at your ethnicity. Let's look at this. Let's look at that. He says, believe. Believe on this. Believe what happened here. And live. Believe and live. That's it. Because I've done it all. I provided it all. All you have to do is believe it. Because the rest of that sentence, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever. There is no statement with that. There is no prerequisite that whoever believes will have eternal life. No man is excluded from this. No man may boast except for Christ and Christ alone. So we come to this story and we look at this story and we can give God the praise. You want to know, my friend, why you can trust God? Let me ask you a question. When you look at the Bible, who are the people that God looks to? What will they say? The Jews, the Israelites, Abraham, all of these people, right? That's true. But I want to tell you a story. A story where it says that God came after you and me. A story where it shows that He has compassion on us. And not only does He have compassion on us, but He provided for us. And it's here in chapter 8 of Mark. So I want you to look at Mark. I want you to memorize this chapter and use it. Show our unsaved friends that God does love us. It's interesting, if we stop and we read slower, we find these clues that God says, I came after you too. Like we said before in the book of John, this is my flock, but there's some that aren't of this flock and I have to go get them. Again, that's you and me. Do we understand? Do we see the importance of the gospel that God loves us all? And that there's no length that He won't go to get us? Because what greater is there than that? Nails, whips, unspeakable torture before you even get to the cross. Why? Simply because He had compassion on us. Because He created us in His image. And He is a jealous God and says, I will not let my image be marred. I will perfect my image. So He died on a cross, puts His blood on us and washes our sin away so that when He looks at us, He sees His perfect Son. We will sin. We will make mistakes. Before we walk out of this door, we may make a mistake. But if we're covered in this blood, we can simply say, I'm sorry. And He'll say, it is forgiven. But we have to come to Him. We have to do that one thing. We have to believe. You see, you look at this account here. Who provided? Jesus provided. But what did the people have to do to fix their need? They had to pick up the bread, stick it in their mouth, chew and swallow. And their hunger was satisfied. You see, when we believe, we pick up the bread, we stick it in our mouth, we chew, and we swallow. Will you come to the table that has been prepared for you? You have to do nothing but just come and believe. Because He loves you. Just as the song says, just as I am. Just as I am. Tim's going to come up here in just a second. He's going to give the invitation, and he's going to sing. They're going to close us in prayer. Let that sink in. Whatever you may be feeling that you want to say, yes, but what about? You, if you only, there is no buts. And he already, and he still says, come. Come. I want you. Come. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. Praise you for this account that shows us that you went out of your way to feed those that were outside of the family. That you went outside of the known to bring us into the family. That you have provided not only physical bread, but you provided your own life, the true bread, the bread of life. Lord, help us to pick up the bread, put it in our mouths and chew and swallow. Help us to believe. Just believe. That's all you ask. And when we believe the gospel, when we trust that you are who you say you are, that you have done what you said that you would do, that we can walk up here and there will be no condemnation. That the tears that will run down your face are not tears of anger, but they're of joy and love. Lord, help us to have that real conversation with you. Help us to drop all things and to walk to you. We praise you, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jeremy. Pretty amazing what the Lord can do with messed up people. Are there any sinners out there this morning? Anybody out there? Yeah. There's one standing here too. But this one standing here is redeemed. And I don't know why. He redeemed me. I don't know why he chases us down in our sin. Why he came from paradise into hell to save us. I don't understand it. And I know he did. And I believe that with all my heart. And the neat thing, like Jeremy said, that's all you have to do is believe it. All you have to do is believe us that Jesus is the Christ, that he came to this earth and died for your sins. And all your pain, all your sorrows, all your suffering, you can give it to him. Are we going to sin again? Yeah, we are. But there's going to come a day when we're made new. Those who believe in Jesus will be made new. We will never sin again. We won't even have the thought of sin in our heads. We'll be a new creation, praising Jesus. Yeah. Like the song says, I can only imagine. It's tough to imagine what heaven will be like. And in Romans, it says we can't even fathom. Just a few seconds in glory and we'll forget every hardship we ever had in this earth. And Jesus is an amazing Savior. He is God. And he came to save you. He came to save me. And this morning, if you need Jesus, even if you already have him and you need prayer, if you need anything, come forward. Confess your sins and he will forgive you. We're going to sing a song of invitation. If you need Jesus, come forward this morning. Please stand as we sing. Behind me, praise you for this morning. We praise you for the message. We praise you for everyone that's here, Lord. We praise you for all those who aren't here, Lord, that wish they could be here. And we ask that you comfort those. Lord, we thank you for everything. Our church and our church family, our families, our kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. It's on and on and on, the blessings that you've given us, Lord. And we ask that you go with us, Lord, as we know you will, and that we are able to hear your voice, Lord, and follow you closely this coming week. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. God bless your week.